A new section on the show here, the ABCs of Revolution. We're going to be looking at Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky's book. He has 13 rules of tactics you can use against the status quo of the establishment. The first tactic is that power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. So if you have large numbers of people, then it's fine to parade them, have a mass demonstration. If you don't have mass numbers, then just make a lot of noise with the people you have. So make it seem like you have a large number of followers. And if you don't even have enough followers to do that, just make a big stink. Okay, the second rule is to never go outside the experience of your own people. You have to use a tactic that they feel comfortable with. That's why it's good to make the revolution fun, you know, have, food, and refreshments, entertainment, along with your demonstrations, generally that. And you also have to use a technique that they can relate to. On the other hand, the third rule is to go outside the experience of your enemy. Use tactics they haven't seen before. I mean, they're generally ready for parades and demonstrations. Picket lines don't work too well anymore. But if you can come up with a tactic they haven't seen before, they don't have a response, and you're generally be winning for a little while. We saw this happen at the peace camp when we took them on county ground over a city issue. The county didn't really know how to respond. It took them for a while to come up with something. But they do learn fast. I mean, once they've been exposed to a tactic, they're going to come up with a response to it. So you have to be ready to change tactics. Fourth rule is to make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. This is a classic one. Because they are the people in charge, they're the authority, they have to have an aura of legitimacy. They have to be the ones that stand for justice and law. And, of course, they don't. They're always breaking the law. So you just point that out, ridicule them. And the fifth rule is to use ridicule, a technique that is very hard to deal with, especially when you're trying to appear powerful. Sixth rule is that a good tactic is one that your people enjoy. And it gets back to the second rule and doing things that they're comfortable with. That brings us to the seventh rule, is that a tactic that drags on too long will wear out your movement. People only have so much patience. You can only stand so long. You have to keep that in mind in your demonstrations, because you don't want them to dwindle away. You want to look strong in front of the enemy. So you may have to have an ending time for your demonstration. Know when to cut the protest short. Because time is your enemy once you start engaging in action. The eighth rule is to keep the pressure on by using different tactics. It gets back to the fact that people get tired with one tactic. They only have so much time they can be interested in it. And it gets back to the other rule, that the enemy adapts to anything new. So you have to keep changing your tactics. The ninth rule is that the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. And that gets back to the first rule, that Your power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. And a threat, the enemy doesn't know how it's going to go down. He tends to imagine things are going to be worse than they are. But this will only work if you are organized and you make it clear that you will carry out the tactic. And a good way of communicating the threat to the enemy is to use the snitches. They've always infiltrated your movement. So if you can locate those snitches, you can use them to as a secure line of communications back to the enemy. And the 10th rule is that the major premise for a tactic is the development of operations. One tactic leads to another. Your action causes a reaction in the enemy, and that leads you to new pressure points. You have to just keep pushing them to find out where the vulnerable points are. Oftentimes you'll pressure them and they'll make a concession. But then you have to keep the pressure on to actually get them to deliver that concession. The 11th rule is, if you push a negative hard enough, it will turn into a positive. Basically, you goad them into making mistakes. You use racism against racists, or the power structure itself against the powerful. This is very important to not try and take on the whole power structure. You want to divide and conquer them. You want to push a certain segment of the elite to push against the other elites. The 12th rule is the price of successful attack is to have a constructive alternative. You have to have some kind of a solution ready in case your enemy just backs down and says, we don't know what to do, tell us what to do. And the 13th rule is to pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize the issue. First of all, you pick a target. The status quo is usually complex. There's all kinds of people involved. It's difficult to pin down who's responsible for some social evil. So when you pick your target, it's probably more important to pick a target that has a vulnerability that you can take advantage of. What kind of means are at your disposal determines your target. You freeze it by making it assume this responsibility for the evil. They usually say, well, it's not my fault. Somebody else is in charge. Let's talk to them. Don't accept that. You want to personalize it. You don't attack an organization. Attack the president. Make it the mayor. Make it the city manager. Make them responsible. Personalize it. Make them a demon. And then you polarize it by making them 100% wrong. I mean, it's never really that case, but it's much more vivid to make them 100% evil, a clear-cut villain. There we have it. Another thing to do is try and make your tactics legal. I mean, if it's illegal, they can stop you right away by arresting you. If it's something legal that upsets the power, there's absolutely nothing they can do about it, and then they will deal. So you're basically attacking one section of the power structure and using them to put pressure on the other. And that's a very valid attack. And since they're all intertwined, it doesn't really matter if you pick somebody that isn't all that guilty, but only somewhat guilty. But they will put pressure on the other person who is guilty, and they won't be so ready for your attacks. And they'll also be quite angry about it because they feel that they're innocent and the other person's guilty. Why are they taking the heat? The same thing happened here once again with the attack on the county building instead of the city over a city law. It doesn't really matter who you pick in the status quo to put pressure on, as long as you have some way to put pressure on them.